you praise you, Lord, because we are in one accord, Lord, absolutely in one accord. And we want God and no foolishness. We want you, Lord. We want your best. We're not playing games, Lord. We know that your way is best. We know, Lord, that if we do what you say, we'll eat the good of the land, Lord. So we trust you, and we do pray you'll have your perfect will, Lord. As Doug's cry is that we'll not fumble a ball so that it's another wasted generation, but we will truly do what you say, do it all the way, do it perfectly, and see what happens. Praise the Lord. So help us, Lord, because this is our intention and our desire, and we do not intend to change. And by your grace, Lord, we will do your will. So help us and guide us, Lord, because our desire is that our generation might learn of God. Worldwide, Lord, and especially in our country, which is sick and immature and in rebellion and sin, Lord. And we need help. And so, God, hear us as we devote ourselves to your kingdom. Now, we pray tonight, Lord, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for your healing virtue, Lord. Remember Rick Jardine tonight, Lord. We thank you for Paul Jarvis. Remember Nathan, Lord. There's needs, Lord, in the congregation. And we just trust your stripes, Lord. We trust your stripes, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you for dying for sinners, Lord. We glorify your mighty resurrection. We pray your mighty hand upon each family represented here. There'll not be one grain of corn lost. There'll not be one outside the circle, Lord, in that day. But the prayers will be answered. Forgive our many sins, Lord, as we freely forgive those who sin against us. And help us, Lord, to achieve our purpose, which is to glorify Jesus. Do it, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, for we have no confidence in the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We've been studying about, we'll be having communion tonight, God willing, so be preparing your hearts. We've been studying about foundations. Someone talked about the plumb line. That's exactly what we've been doing. We've been examining what it means to be a Christian. We've been examining what it means when it says the just shall live by faith, particularly the definition of the word faith. And to say that faith is the substance of things hoped for is kind of like saying the definition of the Pacific Ocean is that it's wet. You know, there's a lot more to faith than some of these trite definitions. They're good, they're biblical, but they're limited, and we need to see all God says. So we've been into that, and now we're working on grace. And so, we spoke this morning that God does not move in fits and starts, like dispensations. I'll try this, and that doesn't work. So, I think I'll try this, and that didn't work. So, I've got this plan, and that doesn't work. So finally, he gives us grace, which means we don't have to do anything, and then carries us all to heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. God gave up on the human race. Best thing to do is love them, forgive them, and take them to heaven. Well, it's an angle, but it isn't scriptural. So we better stick with the scripture. We know what's good for us. So what we talked about was the continuity. Now I'm going to let Walter will preach on the covenants. That's the message God has given him. And I want to preach on the continuity. There is a continuity to this thing. And the covenants are not changes in direction. They are increments of the same plan, the sameness. God has been doing the same thing from the time of Adam and Eve that he's doing today. No different. You're still human beings. And Adam and Eve were human beings. And God had expectations of them. What verse are we using for the key? Do you remember? I'll give you a hint. Micah 6, 8. And how does it go? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? And that's what he wanted out of Adam and Eve, and that's what he wants out of you and me. Praise the Lord. And so these covenants have not been changes of direction. They're merely superior ways of producing the same thing. So they're like grades in a school. So let's read together Malachi 3:6. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. But it's an important concept. How many know that since God has been dealing with people, he's really matured and has learned a great deal? He's really a university man. He's not the old God of the mud huts back in the days of when man was still half monkey. God has really changed. He's really become educated. He's tried a lot of things. Some work, some haven't. But who's perfect, you know? He's really learned a lot in this period of time. I mean, he used to be rough. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But now he's become more humanistic. Isn't that right? I mean, he tried the eye for eye. Didn't work the greatest. And it's kind of rough. Especially if you knocked out somebody else's eye. But today, no more of that caveman God. The anthropomorphism and so on. It's all done changed. And now we've got a bright, new, shining God, 20th century, working right with his people, helping them to achieve their goals. Some believe me, hook, line, and sinker. All right, let's read Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. All right, and then we have another famous verse in Hebrews 13:8. You don't have to open your Bible. You can just look behind me. So let's read that one. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So God has never changed. And Christ has never changed, never will change, forever. He's the same. He doesn't change. God, his Father, doesn't change. What has happened is that the Adam and Eve thing and the Enoch thing and the Noah thing and the law and all these were necessary to bring us up to what we have today, but there's been no change in dispensation. It's one dispensation. The dispensation is, the dispensation was announced this way. Let us make man in our image. Let us make him male and female. Let us make him fruitful and let us give him dominion. That's the dispensation. Has it ever changed? No. That is God's plan concerning man, and it will never change. And the male and female thing finds a higher form in our union with Christ and in the age to come. He's just showing us that man has union capabilities, which is one of the most true things of man's personality, and without it, he's an angel. He's an angel. And men will never be angels. We are like the angels when our humanity leaves us. We are like the angels in that we are not male and female. But the concept of union, of the bride, of Christ, and of Christ, these concepts of union, it's not possible with the angels. You see where it says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. It's not possible to angels. Christ cannot live in an angel's heart. It's not possible. Human beings alone are capable of union. An angel cannot be in God's image. Right? An angel cannot be fruitful. An angel cannot have dominion. These four things apply only to man, and they are the dispensation. The first person we saw that fulfilled these was Jesus Christ. And we have been predestinated before the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to become his brother, his younger brother. How then could there be a change in dispensation? It is not possible. So that's a wonderful thought, if you think of it, that Enoch and those guys have the same problems that you do. Only you have a better covenant. Elijah had the same problem. He got up in the morning and said, "Oh, nuts. It's Monday." I mean, something like that. I mean, these people didn't float around, you know, on a lemon drops and pink clouds. They were people that got up in the morning and he said, man, I'm getting old. My old bones, I can't haul them out of the sack. And my stomach hurts, and my heart hurts, and my feet hurt. That's right. The Bible doesn't tell you all those things, because otherwise it'd be so big, the world itself couldn't contain the books, John said. But it just tells you what we need to know. But be assured, they have the same doubts and fears. And God wanted them to love him. He said, if you love me, you'll be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How many know that's found in the New Testament? No, you're right. That's all the treasures that we stand on. Now, many of them are Old Testament. They're true of all men. It's always true that you're justified by faith. Starts off in Hebrews. Abel, justified by faith. Noah, justified by faith. Abraham, justified by faith. And we're justified by faith. That has never changed. What got messed up was the law. They tried to stick the law in there, so Paul took him back to Abraham. Says he wasn't justified by the law, he's justified by faith, same as you. So there's no change in dispensation. Only increments added to further one unified dispensation of the four parts of the fiat that we mentioned. All right, so the saints of all ages have more in common than they do not have in common, by far. We talked about Micah 6:8. We talked this morning about when you're in the first grade, you feel sorry for those poor kindergartners laboring under an inferior covenant. And we talked about known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. Grace. Grace. What is grace? How many have a definition of grace? Of course, you're scared to say it. Now, before I implied that you were wrong, you would have said grace is unmerited favor. Right? Which, as I said, is something like defining mother and saying she has long hair or something. That's not a definition of your mother. Her hair is longer than her husband's, than your father's. Not in this day it isn't anyway. And it never was, is it? How do you define mother? I'm taking that, Walter, from your book. How do you define mother? Yeah? It's in the book that you gave me on covenant. It says you can't define covenant anymore than you can define mother. What? How do you define a mother? What is a mother? One that gives birth to a child. Is that all? Hardly. What else is a mother? Huh? Comforts, feeds, helps, clean. Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. So when you go to define a mother, you know, and then there's a creature called Mother Bear that you find out about when you're in schoolwork. So mothers have all kinds of situations going, and it's pretty hard to define mother, and it's just about impossible to define grace is the same way in covenant. If you say it's unmerited favor, as I said this morning, it's like saying the ocean is wet. I mean, that's a start. But that's not all there is to the ocean. Now, another definition that's been used today is God's riches at Christ's expense. Again, it's limited because it leaves you with the feeling that I don't have to do a thing. Not a blessed thing. Christ suffers the agonies of hell. Well, I don't have to suffer. But you see, 1 Peter 4:1 says what? Inasmuch as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. And in Revelation 3, I believe it is, Jesus said, as I have overcome, so you must overcome. Jesus did his suffering. And we have some to do, not to make an atonement, but if we don't, we can't participate in the kingdom. That's the nature of things. So that's what's wrong with these definitions. They are very misleading because they're very incomplete. Grace is not a new twist to sainthood. That is, we spoke this morning about making saints on paper. Grace is not an imputation of Christ's character. We can't say that we don't need to be as meek as Moses. We don't need to be as obedient as Abraham because we're saved by grace. Okay? We don't need any of these characteristics because we're saved by grace. So the grace we've got is not defined correctly. Much more has been given to us than was given to the saints of the old covenant. Is that right or wrong? Has more been given to us than was given to the saints of the old covenant? Well, then what is the kingdom principle? To whom much is given. Right, right. So we cannot say, oh boy, whoopee, I've got grace. I mean, here's poor Abraham. Look at the things he had to go through, and Elijah and Elisha, but not me. I'm saved by grace. See, we're misdefining one of the key words. Like we misdefine faith, we're misdefining what grace means. It doesn't mean just unmerited favor. It doesn't mean that. It's not a biblical definition. It doesn't mean just God's riches at Christ's expense. It's not right. It's not right. We've got to redefine grace. Because that's not what it means. See, it appears to mean that. That's a simplistic, but it's grossly incomplete. Okay, now, under the old covenant, which was an inferior covenant, there was tremendous saints come forth. But how about the new covenant? What are we bringing forth, you see? That's the question. God expects to come out of the new covenant kings and priests, the royal priesthood, the wife of the Lamb, the body of Christ, the tabernacle of God, the center of government of the kingdom of God. God expects to come out of the new covenant. Now, we said the things are one, but there are some things that change. There are some things that change as we go from era to era, or covenant to covenant, if you will. And I'm going to use the term era so we can get a sense of the continuity, although the Bible uses the term covenant because that applies to. All right, now, I'm going to give you this in lieu of a definition of a covenant. Walt can play with this. But covenant, I can't get a hold of. So I get it this simpler way. In every era of God's dealing with man, there's four things that apply. First, the gifts that God gives. I spoke of this, I think, Tuesday night. Well, did I speak on this Tuesday night? What? In every era, E-R-A, God gives gifts. Did he give anything to Adam and Eve? Did he give them any unmerited favor? He gave them life. That's a grace. See, Hebrews 13, heirs together of the grace of life. All right, he gave them life, which is a grace. We didn't deserve to live. That's a grace of God. Anything else?
Fellowship with God.
Fellowship with God. That's not earned. That's grace. What else did he give them?
Dominion.
It's absolute grace. They don't have a thing to earn that. Anything else?
Fruitfulness.
He gave them a beautiful environment. Marvelous. Something we have never seen, but that was given to them free. Anything that's a gift is the grace of God. Now, that's a true definition of the grace of God. And in every era of God's working, there is grace given. There are things that are just given out of God's goodness, things that we do not earn. Now, that's a true concept of grace, as distinguished from a waving of sin. See, no matter how you do it, it doesn't matter. See, that's faulty. That definition is faulty. It's not what God means by grace. He means what he has given you. The grace of God has appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. How many remember in Acts 4? I got it straight now. How many remember in Acts 4 where it says, it was speaking to the apostles, and it says, great grace was upon them all. How many remember that? Great grace was upon them all. Acts 4. All right, now here's these apostles walking around, and great grace was upon them all. Now what does that mean? That means that these scoundrels were robbing widows. They were profane, liars, hypocrites, connivers, lewd, drunken brawlers. And there you go. And what's got to be on them? Great grace. Because it wasn't God that smited them. Is that what it means? The great forgiveness was on them? Well, if it says great grace was on them, what does it mean?
Power?
Power is a form of God's grace. Anything else? Huh? Love, I think love, because you can't minister without that. I think they had great love for the people. An anointing. In other words, you could look on them and you could see that God had given them this hard to define thing called grace. It includes more than a waving of your behavior so that you don't have to do what God wants, which is to live justly. If that was what it meant, God's defeated his own purpose. He's not making man in his own image. He's forgiven him by grace. See, he's not making him fruitful or have dominion or anything else. He's just said you don't have to do a blessed thing but come up to heaven and live in a nice house. Oh, like, wow, that isn't scriptural. Grace, God has given to us grace so that we can live the Christian life, so that we can overcome, so that we can be healed. This is what grace is. It's the virtue of God extended to us so that we can do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, and fulfill being in his image, and being fruitful, having dominion, having union with God. That's what grace is. It is the divine. Say, I'll tell you what grace is under the new covenant. Listen. It's the most remarkable thing. Grace under the new covenant is God himself come down to make us what he wants by the infusion of his own being. Nothing less. It is not just the gift of... You know what the gift of God is? God himself. There'll never be a greater covenant than the new covenant, because the new covenant is the coming of God himself to earth, not only to suffer for sins in his own flesh, but to save us by his life. Hallelujah! Listen, we try to give gifts to God. You know what God wants in return? Us! He has given himself. That is the grace of the new covenant. It is the gift of God himself. And when you have given yourself, there is no more that you can give. Don't be chintzy and give God something less than yourself. Because what he has given you, he has never given under any other covenant. He has never given himself. Unreservedly asking for your hand in marriage. Has never done that. The grace of the new covenant is God in Christ in us flowing forth to other people. That is the grace of God. Hallelujah. There's a definition that comes somewhere up in the ballpark. God himself come down from heaven to do that which man cannot do, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. God does that in us to please himself. Praise the Lord. How can you lose? How can you lose? If God has given himself, that's why the Bible says, God has become my salvation. In Isaiah 12, God has become my salvation. That's a prophecy of the new covenant. All right, one of the four things that God gives people in every era, as he moves us toward Micah 6:8, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God, and to have the four parts of the divine fiat, to be in God's image, and so on. The first thing is gifts, and that gift is always grace. It is never earned. It is always unmerited favor. Praise the Lord. Now, it's just that we have more of it than the others. The second thing is requirements. Under every covenant or era of God's working, there are always requirements. Now, did Adam and Eve have a requirement? That's right. There's always a stipulation. There's always a requirement. Now, this, at this point, is where we have gone wrong. This is where we have gone wrong. It's right here. And by we, I mean we evangelicals, we who believe in salvation and being Christians. This is where our theology and practice has gone wrong. Do you know why? Because we have said that there are great requirements under former covenants, but virtually none under the new. See? We have liberty, meaning that because of grace, there's nothing required of us. We have to believe and confess Christ, and after that there are no requirements. Virtually. I mean, to speak of. Oh, we should try to be nice. But, now I'll tell you something. In each one of these four areas, or factors, or elements, if you will, they always increase in intensity and proportionately all across the board. The grace increases, but so do the requirements. Do you know what the requirements are of the new covenant? Do you have any idea? The grace boggles the mind. When you say God himself has come down and give you himself, if Elijah heard a thing like that, there's no telling what he'd say. Probably accuse us of all of heresy. That you cannot fathom. But the requirement is proportionately great. How many know what the requirements are to be a Christian? You know what they are? Everything. Everything. God isn't just asking for you to attend church. That's a good thing, or a few other things. God is asking for you that you do not live any longer unto yourself. He is asking you to reckon yourself dead. He is asking you to hate your own life in the sense of what he's talking about. You know when you get there what he means by that. He's asking for you to lay down your life and take up your cross and follow him. And brother, sister, he gives no quarter. He is not interested in people today that will give God 99% and hold something back, whether it's a person, a situation, riches, or whatever it may be. He'll not countenance it. You'll have nothing but trouble, I'll guarantee you, because God has done his thing, but you haven't done yours. And whenever you do not meet the requirement, you are in for trouble. Now, God does not apply. Now, Walter, here's something. Check this one out now. Think about this. See if it's right. God does not apply these covenants, if you will, with equal vigor and equal exactitude to every person on the earth. He applies them to his elect. Well, that's something. See, predestination operates in here. That's part of grace. So, invariably, the elect look out and damn the people of the world, but they're not under that thing with the same vigor. They are kind of secondarily or thirdly, and they get far less punishment. We're the ones. And every time, when God is working with his elect, whether it be Adam and Eve or Noah or Abraham, whoever it may be, there is no middle ground. Now, I don't know why that. This is something I do not understand. This is contrary to human working, human nature. But there is no middle ground. You either, it's a winner take all. There's no middle ground when it comes to the elect. Either you go on to the rest of God, the perfection, or you court destruction. If you don't use your talent, you don't just not get any more talents, which is reasonable. We say, why you loafer, you wasted the thing. Well, you're not getting any more from me. And that would be not with the Lord. You go into outer darkness. Now, the scriptural principle is this. Listen, because this is a bond. He who has, to him shall be given. But to him who has not, shall be taken away even that which he has. Now, you say that is grossly undemocratic. That's true. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. You're not dealing here with man and his rights and his notions of justice. You're dealing with Almighty God. And do you know that there is an eternal home for the righteous? And there is an eternal home for the unrighteous. But there is no eternal home for the lukewarm. There's no eternal home for the lukewarm. There's no provision made in the scripture for the lukewarm. That's why the Bible says in Revelation 22:11, he that is unjust, let him remain unjust. See, because it says, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy. He that is righteous, let him be righteous. He that is holy, let him be holy. Because there is no place in God for a person who is neither filthy nor holy. There's no place. You have no place to go. The lake of fire is for the wicked. The new earth, the new heaven, the new Jerusalem are for the holy. And there's no place for the lukewarm. There's no eternal destiny for the lukewarm. Which means that we have to get on one side or the other. See, he that gathers not with me scatters. Now, this concept of no middle ground is totally inimical. It's totally at odds with our culture. Our culture, because of our pressure on groups and get along and rights of man and the general antichrist spirit, endorses and supports the person who is not an extremist. The person who gets along in a group, who's well-rounded. See, we don't like somebody to come along and say, you have got to go all the way with God, or you're going to have to go all the way away from God. We don't want to be wholly sold out to God, and we don't want to be wholly sold out to the devil. Do you? Up to this point, you thought you had a course in the middle. But you see, you're a spirit. How many knew you were a spirit? You don't feel like it a lot of times. Phil knew, he knows he's a spirit. You're just a spirit with a flesh and bone tent. But you are a spirit, and your father's a spirit. Did you know that? All right. Now, there's two spirits in the heavens. Okay. There is the spirit of Jesus Christ and the spirit of Satan. Now, you are a little spirit, a little peanut spirit. And these are great, massive, warring forces. And you can't say, I'm not going to play your game, I'm not going to play your game. I'm going to be a man. See? We think we can, but we are such little pipsqueaks that when the spiritual powers come upon us, they flatten us like an elephant stepping on a mouse. We have no fight. There's nothing there. Now, most of the time, we're not aware of these colossi that are warring, and so we think, oh boy, I got it made. No, I'm not going to be too righteous, I'm not going to be unrighteous, I'm just going to see who wins, or I'm going to go down the middle, maybe it'll come out because of grace. No, it will not. You're either going to go with the fallen cherub, or you're going to go with the Son of God, because you don't have the strength to resist. Now, this hasn't been true, but you see, the Bible says, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Again, make straight in the highway, a highway for our God. See, make straight the way of the Lord. Christ said, I want you hot or cold. And we say, no way, man. Look, I've got an ordinary life to lead, and that's it. I don't want to be possessed of the devil, but I'm certainly not going to spend all my time mooning about Christ. I'm going to take a middle course. You can do it. There's no home prepared for you. There's no place prepared for you. The tribulation that's coming, the glory that's coming, the latter rain that's coming, the disturbances that are coming in the world, the shaking that is coming, all these things will knock you off your fence. He that gathers not with me scatters. You have to decide. We don't like that. See, instinctively we say, there's got to be a third way here, man. Somewhere I'll get an angle on this. No, you won't. You'll meet up with Jesus Christ or you'll meet up with Satan. You choose one side or the other. There is no way to walk in the middle. So if you want to make it easy on yourself, choose Jesus and get married to him just as fast as your legs will carry you. Now, God, under the new covenant, has given us a grace or a gift of God himself incarnate. He has given us of his flesh to eat. He has given us of his blood to drink. Now, what more can God give us? Now, he comes down to us, and he doesn't want little coy creatures running around saying, catch me if you can. He wants people who have recognition of the grandness of what's being offered and say, Lord, this is a bum deal for you. But since you have given me yourself, then I will give you myself with no reservations. Praise the Lord. So that no time under the old covenant did God ever say to any man, present your body a living sacrifice. Okay? At no time did God say to any man, you can't live to yourself anymore, you must live unto me because I died for you and your life is forfeit. That was never said. You see, they didn't have the grace, but they didn't have the requirements. You say, but that's just for those overcomers. That's not for us Christians. Let me tell you something. In the Bible, the term Christian is defined. The disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. A Christian is a disciple. Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple unless you lay down your life, take up your cross, and follow me. So average Christianity is turning your life over to God wholly, completely. What happened to my life? You just gave it to Jesus. Do I dare trust him? See, that's the issue. You have to be justified by faith. Suppose I let it all go and then God doesn't come through. Suppose there isn't a God. See? That's the battle, isn't it? You have to overcome by faith. Seeing that which is invisible. That's the challenge to you. Do you believe it or not? Say, well, I'd like to believe, but not that much. No. You either believe it or you don't. Why not go for broke? What do you got to lose? Your puny little self? How come you're so important? Huh? See, take the alabaster box of your life and break it on Jesus. And all your relatives will scream bloody murder. They'll say, oh, you're wasting your life? Why, look what you could have been. Oh, you could have been a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief. Think what you could have been. Here you just took your whole life. And you're wasting it all on Jesus. See, it's always that. This lady took her perfume. It was worth a year's wages in those days. A year's wages. She could have put some on her hanky and tucked some on his ear. Yeah? Or a couple of drops, but not the whole bottle. Judas screamed bloody murder because they want to sell it and give it to the poor. The Bible says not because he cared a fig about the poor. But he was bleeding when he saw the money. And here it was all splat. You can imagine what Jesus smelled like for 2 weeks. You didn't have to hear about his coming. You could smell him a village away. Now, what is this coming? What is this heavenly aroma? Well, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Wow! I think he still smells that way from that lady. He says, wherever the gospel is preached, what this lady... Now, that's worth a year's wages in anybody's currency. Huh? To get your name in the book for 2,000 years. Huh? That's a better deal than the yellow pages. All right, now, the third thing that is true of every era of God's working, maybe this comes up to a definition of covenant, I don't know, is what I would like to call opportunities. You can call them rewards. Now, you see, rewards were held out to Adam and Eve. They were asked, the requirement was, dress the gardens. It's just dress the trees, prune the trees, pick up the leaves, do whatever you want to. Just take care of the garden, keep it neat. That's all. And don't eat of that tree in the middle of the garden. But you see, what was offered to them was to be in God's image. See, to replenish the earth. All the wonderful things that were offered. They were really, it was kingly what was offered to them. It was kingly. How would you like to be Adam and Eve? How would you like to be, you and your wife, to be the only people on the face of the earth? A whole beautiful world. Boy, you talk about opportunity. Never been that much opportunity since, has there? What has God offered us? To him that overcometh will I sit with me in my throne. That's a lot more than replenishing the earth. That's replenishing all the earths that are to come. That is total authority and power. And the greatest of all, of course, is to be one with God. That's the greatest reward. It was never offered to Adam. It was never offered to Enoch, Noah, Abraham, David, Moses. It was never offered to anybody the opportunity to be one with God. One with God. One with God. To sit in the throne. To have God's name. What if Elijah, God said, I'll write my name on your forehead. God never offered that to Elijah. God never said to Elisha, I'll make you a pillar in the temple of God if you'll overcome. These opportunities and rewards have never before been offered. The grace is total. The requirements are total. The rewards are unbelievable. When we come to the last thing, the punishments, as we made mention before, God is not going to be nearly as hard on the world. We like to think, oh boy, we're saved by grace. That means that no matter how we live, that we're going to go up, we're going to have an air-conditioned balcony seat to watch Antichrist fighting the poor Jews, trying to preach the kingdom without the Spirit. And as for the rest of the world, they're all going into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium. This program will resume after a few messages. 9 or 15. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. Where was I? On punishments. The opposite is true. The opposite is true. God, what is God going to judge the world upon when they haven't heard the gospel? The Bible principle is what? To whom little is given, of them is little required. See? That's your principle. To him who knew not the Lord's will and did commit things worthy of stripes, he shall be beaten with few stripes. But to the one who knew the Lord's will and didn't do it, he's beaten with many stripes. So the people to whom the punishment, we're the ones. You see, that's why it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's why it says, how shall we escape if we neglect? Because God has come down to us who are almost insignificant minority of the people of the earth. I mean, we're not even mentioned statistically, especially people who know anything past the basics of salvation. It's an insignificant minority. Statistically, it's just not even worthy of mention. But do you know what? God is offering to you to be in Joel's army. Let's see, I had it written down here. Grace, the covering of the blood, the authority of the blood to forgive our sins, the power of the blood to purge our sins, the body and blood of the communion table, the dwelling of the Spirit of God in us forever, the dwelling of the Father and the Son in us, the conception and forming of Christ in us. This is grace under the New Testament. The gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom and power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a holy life, the wisdom and power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to bear witness of the death and resurrection of Christ, the presence of Christ with us to the end of the age, the insurance in writing that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. And besides this, we have the gospel accounts and the writings of the apostles to guide and instruct us. The people under the old covenant had none of these things. The world has none of these things. This is what God has showered upon us. And then as far as the opportunities, I probably won't be able to find them. But they're boggle your mind. I can remember most of them. They're in here somewhere. Well, that's the thing. I can't find it. To sit on the throne of Christ, to be a member of the wife of the Lamb, to be a pillar in the temple of God. Now, what special treat do we have in the holy city that no one has ever had before? To see the face of the Father. No one has ever had that before. But it says his servants, speaking of the Father, it says his servants shall see his face. We have had offered to us by the Lord God of heaven things that Elijah never heard of, though he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. These people without us can't be made perfect. They're waiting for us. Many that are last in history shall be first in the kingdom. We have the fullest. We're at the full. All the things that were written in the Bible are for our purpose upon whom the ends of the age have come. We have the climax. We have the glory. I said this morning, we haven't even scratched the scratches of the new covenant. God is looking for kings and priests and rulers of the age to come. And here we are. Just us. Feed the chickens, milk the cows, clean up the corral, and rule over nations. And that's the way God wants it. Because he doesn't want any high-minded people sporting himself around with a rod of iron. He wants just us. And you know, there's no middle ground. You either go, it's a winner-take-all. You stand to gain the kingdom, or to be cast into outer darkness. There is no middle ground. He who has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Praise the Lord. I hope I scared you to death. Oh, hallelujah. He's a jealous God. Oh, he's a jealous God. And he's given us, and he expects. These are our talents. The grace is the talents. And he expects us to bring forth, because they weren't given to some poor person over somewhere. They're given to you and to me. Praise the Lord. Do you wish God hadn't given them to you? Huh? Would you rather wish you were back where you could worry about watering the horse? Or whatever? Or do you want to latch on to this thing? Praise the Lord. Oh, glory. How come he keeps doing this every time I come to church? Praise the Lord. Well, let's go all the way. Boy, it's too late now. Man, you'll never be happy in sin. You have had it. You've been had. God's got you on the hook, and you'll squirm, but he'll pull you in. You won't break the pole. He'll get you in there. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we just love you, Lord. God, to think Lord, that you ever wrote our names in your book before the foundation of the world, Lord. Before you formed the earth, you knew our names. Lord God, before we ever heard of you, you loved us. You knew us in our mother's womb, Lord. You know all things. You knew the day you would open our eyes that we'd see the cross of Calvary. You knew, Lord, when you'd separate us out, Lord, to begin to find out the mystery of God. You knew, Lord, you know everyone in this room, and it's calculated carefully in heaven as you dispense your talents of knowledge. And, Lord, we know we'll be held to strict account for them. So we pray, Lord, that every competing thing in our life, Lord, at this point will become strangely dim. Take from us, Lord, the pull of the world, Lord, which is perishing with the using. Oh, God, give us a grain of common sense to see that. Help us not to be bound incorrectly with people. Give us dominion, Lord, in all our relationships so that we can love but not be bound. Oh, God, keep us, Lord, from the gross sins of the flesh, Lord, that make us as beasts. Keep us from false gods, from religious deliciousness. Keep us from those things, Lord, which tinkle like bells but sound like the gospel. God, give us that which the saints of all ages have had, Lord. True faith, true grace. Help us, Lord, not to get tangled in the covenant, Lord, itself, but to see God's heart. And, Lord, we know that you have given us your heart in the new covenant. And, Lord, we pray that our response will be nothing less than our heart, Lord, we who are nothing, dust of the ground, Lord, that you would deign, Lord, to come down among us. Lord, what can we do but give you all that we are? Say, take it, Lord. Use it as you will. Let it be as the alabaster box, Lord, that the fragrance of your person may be enlarged, Lord, with our humble gift, Lord. Oh, God, you're so great. Grant that everyone in this room will give that gift, Lord, lest they be ashamed in the day of Christ, Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you that we have one more day in which to give you the supreme gift. Thank you, Lord, for that, that we didn't die, Lord, in a half-baked consecration. Oh, God, bake us all the way through, Lord. Nobody likes sticky pancakes, Lord. You just flip us over in the pan, Lord, and bake the other side so that we will be a morsel on the King's table. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. Going to ask the elders to bring in the children now. Let's stand in attitude of prayer. We're going to be eating of Christ's flesh and drinking of his precious blood. Hallelujah. And this is the blood of the covenant that God hath made with us, giving us of his own life's blood, that we might drink thereof and have eternal life, and of his flesh. This is the covenant, the bread and the wine of the covenant that God has given, that we might be married to him for the wife of the Lamb, saints, because you eat the Lamb, you eat the Passover Lamb. We're married to him by eating of him. Oh, God, for every one of us, Lord, bring us into union, untroubled union. Lord, we freely forgive those who have sinned against us. Everyone without reservation, Lord, we let it go now. We freely forgive. Lord, we have offended many. Help us to realize that, Lord. We have offended many. So, Lord, we pray you be merciful to us as we are merciful to those who have offended us. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. Because son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, any has special needs tonight, Lord, we pray the body and blood of Jesus will meet that need, Lord. It will meet that need, Lord. Hallelujah. Every bondage broken, Lord. Every heart cleansed. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Anyone has sin in your heart, you're doing something that you know is not right, won't you right now tell the Lord, give it to Him. Say, Lord, take this from me. It's unclean. And God will forgive you right now, and the communion will give you strength. You're doing something and it's not right, and your conscience is defiled. You make that right this minute. Now, say, Lord, never again, never again, never again. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, does anyone want to slip up their hand and say, Brother Thompson, pray for me tonight. I'm making a resolution and I want it to stick. If that's true of you, slip up your hand. I'll pray. I see that hand. I see those hands. Make that now and we're going to pray. Are there any others? Four or five hands raised. Do I see that hand? That hand. Make that resolution within you now. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray for the power of God under the new covenant to give you that edge of victory. Praise the Lord. Is there another that did not raise your hand? You're making a resolution now. I see that hand. Are there any others? Yes, I see that hand. Are there any others now? Praise the Lord, we're going to offer a prayer before we have the communion. And we're going to pray that God will give you that keen edge. That keen edge. I see that hand. There's someone here and you have not really given your all to Jesus. And you know you've got to. And you want the strength to do it. Slip up your hand. Is there anyone like that here? Praise the Lord. I see that hand. All right. All right, we're going to pray. Just a minute. I see that hand. As the children are coming in, saints, He will not accept 99%. He wants your all. He's given His all. He wants your all. It's only fair. It's only right. He died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. Your life is forfeit. He died in your place. He died for you. You belong to Him. When you don't give Him all that you are, you're cheating. You're cheating. He owned you. He died for you. He purchased you that you might not live any longer unto yourself. Your life is not your own. You're forfeit. Christ died in your place. If not, then you have to die for your own sins. Christ died, substitution, that you should not live any more unto yourself, but unto Him. You're forfeit, and if you don't give it to Him, you're cheating. You're taking something that does not belong to you. Belongs to Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, now we're going to pray now. I'm going to pray now for those who raise up their hand. They're making a decision. Father, You saw these hands. You see now the resolve that is being made. Lord, and we're going to be taking the communion, Lord, and we want this communion tonight to be a seal of this decision. These are things, Lord, we're praying about now that are not right in the life. And Lord, we personally are saying to You, Lord, no more. No more. By Your grace, it will never happen again. Not one time, Father, by Your grace. Now we call upon You in the name of Jesus. You said You shall ask what You will, and it shall be done. You said You shall have power if the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, Father, we are asking in the name of the Lord Jesus for each one who raised his hand. Lord, we're asking now for a spirit of resolve. A spirit of resolution, and we come against these things now that are in the mind of and heart
that are not right and do not belong in the kingdom, and where they're ready to go now, in the name of Jesus, leave. Now, in the name of Jesus the Lord, we take dominion over you and we cast you out now. Now, now, you will leave in Jesus' name. You will leave in Jesus' name now. We stand against you. We stand against you. You will obey. You will obey. You will obey. You will leave. You've been confessed and you will obey the name of Jesus. You have no choice. You will obey and you will obey now. Now we pray, Father, that in this life, these lives will come that firm determination. No more. No more. And Lord, we say in your name that the past is clean. The file is emptied of anything incriminating, that you have cast their sins behind your back, and they will not be mentioned again, not at the judgment seat of Christ. Never. They are gone. As a clean start by the power and the blood of Jesus and in his name. We come now on behalf of those, Lord, some slipped up their hand. They have never given their life to you, Lord. They want to be saved, but they don't want you to have their lives, Lord. We know that condition. Lord, they didn't know prior to this night that you're asking for their life, that you already own it, Lord, if they're a Christian, because they live only by a substitution, Lord. They are already forfeit, and they are cheating if they don't give it. So, Lord, we ask you give them that trust and faith, Lord, that we've found over the years, that anything we give to God is kept. There's no danger in trusting God. God alone is good. God alone knows what is good for us. So we're not afraid to trust you, Father. We've come to know and to trust the love that God has in us. We come now in the name of Jesus. And we pray that right now we agree with these people as they give their lives to you, the rightful owner, the legal owner in the sight of God. No longer are they going to cheat and hold on to that which already belongs to Jesus. But they are going to be achievers under the new covenant of all that you have required, Lord. Praise your name. And we pray as they eat your flesh and drink your blood tonight that this will be a covenant between you and them, that they have given their lives to you, Lord, absolutely, no reservations, to be your servant, and that there's no more of these troubling sins, Lord, gone, and indecision, gone. These are your elect, Lord, and this is your covenant of blood. Hallelujah, and we take it now. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard us, and you've met these people, Lord, and we'll continue to confirm that which they have announced before you this night. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ask the ushers to come now, and we will partake together of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh. King of glory.
come and worship Him. Royal priesthood, come and praise Him. Holy nation, we worship Jesus, our Redeemer. He is precious, King of glory. Come and worship, royal priesthood. Come and praise Him, holy nation. Worship Jesus, our Redeemer. He is precious, King of glory.
Praise Your name. Habaraka handalala baka hasiri arabai. Oh, Holy Christ of God. 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 Avadaka hasili arava. Holy Christ of God. Oh. Oh, Jesus, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Avadaka handarava kahasiki sili arava. Oh, Jesus, behold Your servants, Lord. Behold Your servants, Lord. Your priesthood, Lord. Oh, Your body, Lord, this night. Oh, Jesus, the fruit of the earth, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Praise. 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 Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread before the Lord? And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Lord, we have spoken tonight that God has given to us Himself. We have spoken, Lord, also that we must give ourselves to God. Now, Lord, this is the covenant between God and man. We do not eat Your flesh lightly, Lord. We bind ourselves to eternal union with God. We bind ourselves, Lord, to union, to obedience, to marriage, to become the temple of God. There's no turning back, Lord. We are committing ourselves for eternity to be a part of God. We will not turn back. We have made up our minds. This world is not our home, Lord. We are seeking a city which has foundations. We have put our hand to the plow. We will not look back. We are pledging ourselves in the sight of God and of the holy angels for eternity to be Christ and none others. We belong to You, Jesus. We remember the Last Supper. We remember, Lord, when You said, This is My body. Those disciples did not understand at that time, Lord, but we understand now that God Himself has given to us of His flesh to eat. We eat it, Lord, not as just crackers, but as a covenant that we are yours for eternity and there is no going back. Hallelujah. Let's eat together. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. The very body of Christ. After the same manner also he took the cup. Shall we hold the cup before the Lord? When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Jesus, we take this not just as grape juice, Lord, but as your precious blood, the covenant of blood, the covenant between Christ and the members of his body. We do not take it lightly. We do not take it without searching our hearts, Lord, to see if our hearts are right in the sight of God, if we have treated our fellow man right, if our spirits are singing and light in your presence. Lord, if there be any that are otherwise minded, we pray at this moment they will turn their lives over to God and realize that there's no going back. We are drinking the blood of God's Son as an eternal covenant. It is not to be changed. God will not change it. We are not to change it. This is the blood of the covenant between Christ and us, that we are part of him for eternity. Praise your name. Shall we partake together? Praise the Lord. Shall we stand?
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy. Christ the Lord.
Let's join hands across the aisle, praise his name. Hallelujah. Join hands across the aisle.
We'll give him all the glory.
Lift your hands up to the Lord. Hallelujah.
We'll give
Amen.
Him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Glorious art thou, O Lord. Glorious art thou in thy holy dwelling, O Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Vikiriya ravahaya ravahanda ravahasiriya. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh Christ, oh Christ of God, oh yes, Lord, oh yes, oh God.
I'm going to ask our sister who's come with Phil, the missionary, our sister, the missionary to Japan, if she will, to just thank God for his goodness and to bless us all as we depart to our ways tonight. Oh, God. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes.
When we want to praise you, Lord, we want to have you take our lives and use them, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, we praise you for this part of the body of Christ. Oh, Lord, this is a very precious group here. I am so much thankful for you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done with me in the years gone by. And Lord, I just pray that others will be inspired, Lord, not to be afraid to step out.
Yes, Lord.
And serve you, Lord.
Jesus.
You'll be strong because you give us strength.
Yes.
And you've proven that, Lord, over and over. Lord, we've never given you anything but what you've restored unto us a thousand times.
Amen.
And Lord, I rejoice tonight that I have these dear grandchildren here.
Yes, Lord.
Only you know, Lord, the joy that is mine.
Oh,
I just praise you, Lord, tonight for the opportunity of praise you.
Praise
you, Lord. I'm part of them, Lord. I shall always be part of them.
Yes, Lord.
And they'll always be a part of me.
Yes, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, our
Father.
Your precious
son. Amen. God bless everyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Some that will, let's gather around. We're going to pray for Margaret's aunt. You want to just gather around with us here.